This one's good if it goes.
Oh, dude! Oh, goodness!
Cow!
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go! Let's it go!
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
Because you gotta hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy!
Oh, they got it! Jones! Oh,
yes!
Oh,
I can't believe it! I can't believe it! Are you serious?
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome into the world's greatest podcast, NCAA Tournament Edition, Coaches Getting Whacked Edition. Giving us a chance to look back on, the brackets, get some time to digest it edition. So D-Squared, let's get to the first and foremost. Coaches getting whacked. I mean, it is amazing the number of coaches that lost their jobs in the last week or so. Big Ten's taking a hit, obviously. Archie Miller, Richard Pitino. Richard Pitino was not unemployed very long. But what is your take just overall on last week's activities? Because I feel, let me tell you something, we've both been in this situation. It is a brutal time. And people are going to say, well, they make a lot of money and all that. That sounds great. But the impact it has on you, your staff, your support staff, your family, your children, people, money has nothing to do with that. It's the emotional stress of that is extremely, it's devastating. It's very difficult to deal with, and we've all been there. And I feel for all these guys that have been let go because, I mean, they're good people that have worked really hard that for one reason or another didn't win enough games, or there was a change in athletic director, or they decided to do things in a certain way, which is probably the right way. And sometimes, the old saying, get fired for anything but cheating or anything but losing. It just, breaks my heart a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Money is a factor. I'm not feeling bad for Archie Miller. He walked away with $10.5 million. Hey, look, he got a great opportunity. He walked away with $10.5 million on top of millions that he had. He does not know this, nor do other coaches. But in many ways, it's the best day of their life. They don't know it, but it's the best day of their life. Look, it's a business we chose. I do feel bad for people. I went through it. Maybe mine was different, but I felt an incredible sense of relief. Lula, the not-so-wonder dog, is yelling in the background. Richard Pitino, hey, look, good for him. I feel bad for guys that aren't set for life. Like, Archie Miller is set for life. Like I always said, don't tell me about all the pressure of coaching at Indiana. Tell me the pressure of coaching at Bowling Green with a young family when you lose. Your son's crying because he knows you're going to get fired, but he doesn't understand that you haven't made enough money to really live on. You got to go back and you got to start up all over again. That's what I feel bad about. In Indiana's case, let me give you some numbers here. And look, I said from the get-go, Archie was the wrong guy to be in Indiana, but I did not want anybody fired. And I've said that very loudly and I've said that very clearly. I told the athletic director, Fred Glass, the day he hired Archie Miller, you have made us like everybody else, which is not, few teams are great, few teams are lousy, everybody else is in the middle. I've been crushed by that from Indiana fans for years. Don't care. I know what it takes at Indiana, and Archie Miller wasn't it. People can blame fan base at Indiana. People can blame whatever they want. They have simply hired the wrong people. Simply. Tom Crean, I will say this. Nobody could have done a better job cleaning up a mess. Tom Crean was wrongfully fired. Tom Crean was fired by an administration that didn't want him to get too big. Indiana is that. Indiana, when I was there in 1997, had a meeting, coaches meeting. They were going to, quote, de-emphasize basketball. You weren't going to see basketball be promoted as much. They wanted to take power away from basketball, and that's exactly why Tom Crean was fired. He was not easy to deal with within the school. Archie Miller was fired, frankly, because he was inept. 2-23 against Greg Gard, Chris Holtman, John Beilein / Juwan Howard, and Matt Painter. 0-8 against Purdue. 0-5 against Michigan. 1-6 against Ohio State. And frankly, I've heard people, including our colleagues, talk about this as a great coach. There's no evidence to that. Everybody wins at Dayton. Everybody. I don't give a damn. I went back. Brian Gregory won at Dayton, for crying out loud. Everybody wins at Dayton. At Indiana, you have to have a guy that understands not only not the culture, But you got to understand this fan base needs Roundup. The coaches in the state want to coach like the head coach at Indiana. So coach your brains out. I don't think they've had great coaching at Indiana. Great enthusiasm out of Tom. Unbelievable work ethic out of Tom. But the coaching has been incredibly lacking, and we've seen how important it is in the Big Ten with Juwan Howard and his offense, which does all kind of different things, and the way he fit a roster. But this nonsense about, and I'll take whatever he, about the fan base, anything other than Indiana has hired the wrong coach is nonsense, garbage.
So who's the right coach? All right, let me ask you this. Does it have to be a former player? Does it have to be a former Indiana guy?
Here's what I've said. And, you know, you go get Brad Stevens. That's fine. Great. He would be the right coach, Indiana guy. But I'll tell you this, Brad made two nice runs. But look in the middle. Look how that was. Brad Stevens also, if Brad were smart, and Brad's a friend, if Brad were smart, he'd listen. 4 years ago, he could thumb his nose at it. But this ain't going great in Boston. And the Indiana job does not come open all of the time. So Brad Stevens would be terrific. Tony Bennett turned the job down in 07. He was mad about his sister Kathy being fired. Been a long time since 07. If you could go get those two guys, then that would be great. But
what about Scott? If I say Scott Drew, what would you say?
I would say absolutely not, for a variety of reasons that I'm not going into. 100% not. John Beilein, possibly. But other than that, you can't name me one thing in the Indiana University men's basketball program that is better now than when Bob Knight left in 2000. So I get, and this is just my opinion, Seth.
I get
where people say, doesn't have to be an Indiana guy. Look at all these guys that have won championships at different places. Patino wasn't a Kentucky guy. Patino wasn't a Louisville guy. Calhoun was. That's fine. I get it. I do. I get it. But you're asking me. My opinion, it had nothing other than the facilities, but that's going to happen regardless of who's the coach. Nothing is better at Indiana since Knight left. Yeah, okay, Knight grabbed the player. He shouldn't have done it. Yeah, okay, Knight behind the scenes was a bad guy. Graduation rates aren't better. Money in the program isn't better. Integrity of the program? Are you kidding me? The integrity of the program, Indiana's been on probation. I don't see any statues of anybody in Assembly Hall other than that played for Knight. So the basketball has been awful, ridiculous. And you can tell my passion, I hope you can anyway, in this. I would hire Alford today, tomorrow, or the next day if, and this is where morons can't understand what I'm saying, if you can't get Brad Stevens, if, and it's a bit, you can't get Tony Bennett, I would look at John Beilein. The dumbest thing Indiana did was hire Calvin Sampson over John Beilein. Beilein did a great job at West Virginia. Calvin did a great job at Oklahoma, but he was on probation. How stupid is that to hire somebody that's already on probation at Indiana University? So my thing, does it have to be an Indiana guy? In my opinion, if you can't go get Stevens, if you can't go get Bennett, I would always put Shaka Smart in there. Now, I don't know whether, you know, I've always said, if you're going to hire a coach, give me Shaka, give me Brad, and forget about it. I'll take either one that comes. But, you know, Shaka's at Texas, and now he seems like he's got that going pretty good. Tony's
what about Randy Whitman?
Randy Whitman's been out of coaching for 6 years. He's in retirement. He's the losingest coach in the history of the NBA.
Just throwing names out.
Mike Woodson, nice guy. Don't know. That'd be fine. Isaiah Thomas, dying to have the job. Dying. Dane Fife. They hire Dane Fife tomorrow, I'd be happy. I mean, here's the thing. And Greg Doyle of the Indy Star wrote an article on this, Seth, that Indiana guys aren't good enough to be the Indiana coach. And okay, he's right. But everybody told me Archie Miller was. Everybody told me Crean was. Everybody told me Sampson. What defines good enough?
Let me ask. I'm going to throw one off the wall.
Yeah.
Way things are going, go get John Calipari.
Let me tell you something. If you went and got John Calipari or Rick Pitino at Indiana, everybody would do one thing. Then they would. That was for one day. Then the second day, you know what they would do? Get so freaking excited that they couldn't see straight. I had Rick on my show yesterday here in Indy, Seth. You know what he said? I ain't leaving Iona. You know what I said? I ain't believing that. I don't care if he's 68 years old. Absolutely. That'd be great. Keith Smart's been in the NBA. He's been a head coach. Fine. All I'm saying to you is 21 years of people telling me that this is the right way. This is the – we still have colleagues, Taylor. Don't erase this. I don't care if I call you later on and say erase this. We still have colleagues at ESPN that tweet out that Archie Miller is a tremendous coach. There's literally zero evidence of that at Indiana. Look up Dayton. Everybody wins 22, 25 games a Dayton. Look it up. They do. I said it at the time. But we people, like, for some reason, the Millers have this hold on, like, Sean has a hold on his administration in Arizona that he still has a job after all the garbage he's allegedly involved in. And Archie has this hold on the media where it's like, tremendous coach. There is zero evidence on the floor, player development. The player development's been off. Zero, 2-23 against the good programs. None of those programs are great that I mentioned. 2-23 at Indiana, Seth. Tell me what's great about that.
I think that's a wrap right there, boys. Well, I understand where you come from, and I appreciate your passion. In the church.
Hey, look, let me just say this. I literally don't know music. I don't know art. I swear, I go way overboard at times on my radio show and very publicly have gotten in trouble for it. Okay? I get it. But the one thing I do know, the one thing is Indiana basketball. I've been studying this, not being a participant. Hell, I got my Indiana shirt on, and frankly, it's all by coincidence because I only wear two shirts because I'm fat. But I've been studying this since 1973. And I'm not talking about watching games on TV. I'm talking about reading books. I know the history of Lou Perkins, the AD at Kansas, coming on visits to Indiana back in the day, and who paid for his airline ticket of his dad to get there illegally, which led to the firing of Branch McCracken. Like, this is what I know. Only thing. And what I gave you right there is based on passion and however many years goes back to 73 of studying this stuff, because it's in my blood.
All right. And on that, I'll say, and I understand the money part of it, and I understand, you know what, money solves a lot of problems. I still think no matter what, the emotional drain when a guy gets let go is real.
I agree.
It shakes your confidence. It shakes
Seth, you know, can I just say this?
It shakes your family's core because they, in a lot of ways, people say it's not what I do. It's not who I am. It's what I do. But, you know, when you're growing up and your kids are growing up and you're a coach, it's who you are and what you do.
You and I have had this discussion.
When they see that taken away, to me, that's a difficult thing.
I don't disagree with that. And you and I have had this discussion when we went into the media. Yeah. You know, we're really not insecure people in many ways at all. Except when we got into a different profession, right? And then because you get fired, you lose confidence in yourself. And then you go, what? All right, was I any good there? Did I do, you know, we've had those discussions. And I agree with what you're saying. And I took off on a tangent. Hey, Dan Dockage here. Before we move on, two things I want to mention. Don't sleep on ESPN's Tournament Challenge. It's time to fill out a bracket. If there were a bracket of my favorite sports traditions, filling out a bracket would be the champion of that bracket. I love taking on my friends and family in the ESPN Tournament Challenge and beating every single one of them. Sign up now for ESPN Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com/bracket. And this year you can boost your bracket with ESPN Plus. Use the bracket predictor to analyze each matchup, get recommended picks one game at a time, and import your picks directly into ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com and check out ESPN's newest podcast, Daily Wager. Daily Wager is a new podcast for all your information on tonight's game. Listen every weekday afternoon for the latest info on the biggest games and plays. That's Daily Wager. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking at the bracket, 3 days later, overall, give me in each region an upset you might have.
All right, let me go through one thing here first, okay? Jake the Wonderdog. I'm going to start in the West. I'm going to take the winner of Wichita State, Drake, and I'm going to say it's Wichita State, although the coaches at Drake feel pretty good about this matchup. I'm going to take the 11 seed to beat USC, Seth, whichever one it is, which sounds weird, right? But I know those two guards at Wichita State, they can get going.
Yeah, and Gilbert, isn't Gilbert a little bit inconsistent, can't shoot it really?
I don't know if he can't shoot it. I know he's inconsistent shooting it. And I had a couple of days of watching Wichita State. I'm going to take that game and that win, Seth. And then I'm going to take Georgetown over Colorado. I like Georgetown
too. All right. So I like SC. I like SC's length. I like their ability to defend. Taj Eady's gotten better. I like SC in that. It's the one up top. Like UVA, 7 days in quarantine. Oof. Fly in a hotel, 2 negative tests, play Jason Preston and Ohio University. That's going to be tough. And then flipping it around, Kansas, maybe no David McCormick, no Jalen Wilson for sure, I guess. How does Kansas, without those two guys, survive Creighton or Virginia, either of those two guys advance?
Can I go back to the OU game real quick?
Yeah.
You know what I've said about this? There are certain MAC teams – that really do well in the tournament. I go back to John Gross's Ohio team with Armon Bass. When you get a hot guard and you're beating teams in the MAC tournament bad, you're a really good basketball team right now. Like, I don't care what you did a month ago, 3 weeks ago. They're beating teams bad, Seth. And Preston is not good. He's a great guard.
He's a pro. Right. He's going to be a pro somewhere.
And you combine that with what Virginia's going through? Is that an upset?
Yeah, like I can't even imagine. Like you know, I was thinking about the other day, right? So 7 days, what's basketball, especially the way they play? You get connected, communicate, you know, alert, mentally, physically, emotionally engaged. I mean, that's Virginia basketball, right? Well, how are you going to be connected to all those ball screens at Ohio U runs? All right, when you haven't done anything, you know, repetition is the whole key to anything anyone does in our game. You know, they're very simple. What they do every single day, and they do it very well. Well, you haven't done it for 7 days. Now, all of a sudden, late in the game, you're having to be chasing around ball screens. All right, are you going to be able to get out there? You're going to foul. And then your legs. I mean, like, not getting up shots for 7 days, not running for 7 days, you know, not doing, you know, basically – preparing for a game in Zoom sessions and on video, and then just going out and playing, it's going to be really tough. So, but I disagree with you on I think SC, and I think Kansas is the same situation. Now, Kansas has been practicing, but no McCormick, no Jalen Wilson. Jalen Wilson's their best pro prospect. McCormick's their best inside scorer. That's going to put a lot of pressure on those perimeter guys.
So you like SC to roll through not only that. See, here's the difference in Kansas and SC to me. I just always expect Kansas to win.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it'll be interesting if they can get Wilson back. And I think SC's better defensively than people perceive. But all that's right. Interesting. All right, let's go to the East. I call it the champions bracket because you got the Big East champion, the Big 12 champion, the SEC champion, the Atlantic 10 champion, and the runner-up in the ACC and the SEC. Michigan's without Livers. I'm going to give you off the top of my head. In a rock fight, LSU wins. LSU gets Michigan. Let me tell you something. I got LSU winning that game. They got dudes. They got pros. I mean, strong pros, but they got pros. And that's just the way it is. I mean, and I like they starting to defend. I like the way they defended in the Alabama game. You know, Cam Thomas, Trenton Watford, Javonte Smart, even Darius Days. I mean, those guys are really good. Michigan without Livers. What's your take? What's your take? And I agree with you on Colorado. What's your take on LSU and Michigan without Livers?
Seth, the best game I saw all year was Ohio State-Michigan on Sunday a few weeks ago. Second best game I saw all year was LSU and Alabama this past Sunday. Seth, I'm with you, man. I watched LSU, and I do think it'll be a rock fight with St. Bonnie. Maybe we talked about this, but I had, you know, that last thing on your remote where you flip back to the previous channel. I was flipping back and forth between the St. Bonnie game and the LSU game, and frankly, there was no comparison between the teams. I mean, St. Bonnie's really good. But
they're good,
no,
good in that league. They're not in terms of player. Yeah, I mean, like, right. Roth is a nice place. Oshunshi is a nice player. Holmes is a good player. Attaway is tough as nails. They got six guys in rotation, but they're not LSU.
No. So I'm going to go with LSU, but I do think it'll be close. Here's the deal with Michigan. Livers, in my world, is one of the best guys in the Big Ten. I love seeing that kid. Like, I saw him one time this year against Michigan, probably shouldn't have done. I smacked him on the stomach when he was stretching. I probably, you know, social distancing was probably, and he just laughed. He just a great, he just laughing. You know, he's like, hey, coach, how you doing, man? How's Andrew Bubba? Just that guy, okay? So on the court, he makes every play, but he's that guy with their team. You know what I mean? That's big to lose. I think they're going to get through LSU. I do. I think that Shondi Brown, you know, he's mature, average 11. He slides in there. It's a huge loss. But, man, they still got Mike Smith to make shots late. They still got the big dude inside. They've still got a first-round draft choice in Franz Wagner. Seth,
who replaces Shondi Brown, though? You see, like, I think you
– I know. Yeah.
That's the question. It's Shondi Brown's a good player. He's not Isaiah Livers. But then the guy that has to replace Shondi Brown, that energizer bunny, the guy that can drop 20, that guy, if someone gets in foul trouble, all of a sudden he comes and he just fits in. He's experienced. He's tough. He's mature. I mean.
Well, Brandon Johns is the answer. Brandon Johns is a guy. He's not him. But I'll tell you this about Brandon Johns. John Beilein thought he was going to be an NBA player. When John had him, he thought he was going to be an NBA player. I don't think they're as good, Seth. I'm not saying they are. But I think they're going to get by LSU.
All right, bottom of the bracket, Michigan State. You think
they? Whoa! Hold on, I gotta stay at the top here. You like Georgetown over Colorado, the 12th?
Yeah,
Why?
They took better. They were turning over 21% of possessions. They took better care of the basketball. They're back to vintage Georgetown in a lot of ways. I mean, Blair's making shots. Dante Harris guards the ball. I mean, he guards the ball and he took care of the ball. Wahad is a big body who knows he's a big body. I saw that team celebrate. It sounds silly, but when they celebrated that championship, they celebrated with each other. I watched all these championships. They celebrated with each other. They celebrated with their coach. Like, you got guys jumping into the arms of Patrick Ewing, like real emotional, connected. This is my guy. This is my coach. I'm playing for him. I'm defending his. I mean, and I don't know, that just moved me. It moved me to the point where, like, I always said, to win the games you need to win, that your guys got to be playing for you. To win the games you're supposed to win, that's fine. But to win the games you need to win, a light bulb went on in that team. And they had a lot of tough, close losses. And I believe in Pat Ewing. I believe in the connection he has with the team. And maybe it's part addition by subtraction. Everyone pointed their fingers. This guy left, that guy left, this guy left. And you know what it did? They took him a while to figure it out. But that guy's in the NCAA tournament, and those kids embraced what he was trying to do.
Isaiah Miller, Seth, at Greensboro. Now, let me give you a little history here on Wes Miller in Greensboro. 2-3 years ago, I'm in Boise. I'm watching Greensboro-Gonzaga. Greensboro has the game in hand a bit. They call lob play. About a minute 40, huh?
Big mistake.
Next thing you know, Gonzaga wins it at the end. Greensboro's team remembers that. These are the teams that win in the NCAA tournament, big boy. Not saying they're going to beat Florida State.
They ain't beating Florida State.
Everybody loves Florida State, but I'm going
to Florida State does turn it over. I mean, they turn it over, and they don't like changing defenses. That's for sure.
And I always go back to – remember Harold Arsenault back in the day?
Yeah.
I always go to him. They got one of those athletic Isaiah Miller guys.
Isaiah Miller's an athletic dude, not a great shooter, but he impacts the game a lot of ways. So you that's just outside the box in your second bracket. All right, Michigan State. Did they get by UCLA?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I'm gonna be the typical moron. Oh, it's March, it's Izzo, of course.
All right. Do they get by Texas?
No. can't play against that kind of athletic ability. They haven't, right. Let me put it this way. They haven't showed themselves to play against that kind of athletic ability, Seth.
Right. And you love UConn.
I do.
You'll get by Alabama.
I got to get by Maryland first.
Well, or Maryland, by Maryland to get to Alabama.
Yeah, I think they do. I think they. I think UConn, Alabama is going to be the most underrated, really good game in the nation. I think Danny Hurley's going to last about 36 minutes if his team's losing, and then the boot's going to come. But I don't see I'm not going to be surprised. In fact, for you gamblers out there, if the line is 5 or more, I'm taking UConn in that game because I think UConn's a really good basketball team, and I've been on them all year, and I'm stubborn.
Well, I actually have UConn advancing.
You do? Why?
Book night. Tyrese Martin's improvement. When Booknight was out, I think Cole took better ownership in the team. The big kid up front, I think Tyler Polley might get hot. And that dude can make buckets. They defend their rear ends off. And I think they have an energy about them that is pretty – I think Polley can get it going. I think Martin's a good player. I think that, Sanogo, the kid up front is you watch him get better every single day. I think Booknight in the right mindset could go off in this. I'm watching Booknight and Morcell. I think that's going to be a great matchup.
Oh, Morcell, get in.
I'm going to watch that. Like literally, I might just watch those two guys. I might literally just zero in on that matchup. When Connecticut's got the ball, I might not watch anything else. I don't care if Booknight has the ball or not. I'd like to watch. Booknight's really good without the ball. He waits on screens, cuts hard, reads curls, reads bump backs, drives closeouts. I might just literally put my feet up on the desk and just watch those two go at it.
I do that in football. I just watch the line. I don't watch the ball. And in basketball, I watch individuals. I do, and I'm going to do that. I am. That's something that people – if you want to have fun watching the tournament, train yourself to not watch the ball like a coach does, and you'll have a lot of fun.
All right, let's go to the South. The South.
Yeah.
All right, in the South, I think I've got Virginia Tech. I don't know why they're at 10.
I don't either.
I love Mike Young. I love his pedigree. I love that he, Fletcher Arrett, disciple, Fork Union Military Academy, shout out. Had two players from there, Arthur Reeves and Cedric Smith. Love those guys. But Virginia Tech's going to beat Florida.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech has had a toughness. They defend. They're the best screening team, I think, maybe in the whole damn tournament. I got Virginia Tech over Florida, so that's like my one upset. I think the most intriguing game is Carolina-Wisconsin. As long as Carolina doesn't throw the ball away, they're winning.
I agree with that. Seth, I got to ask you this because you know everybody involved in this. First off, I got Virginia Tech plus 2.5 points. This is a shameless plug, but go to DraftKings.com. If it's still 2.5, I'm not saying it's a house bet. It might be just bet your living room, but it's pretty good action. I like it. Hey, everybody and their mother is asking me about Winthrop. I know that Colin Gillespie is out, okay? I get it. I get that Villanova is going to have the best three players. But will you please tell the world, is it possible, based on talent, for Winthrop to win this game?
I don't think so. All right, here's my deal. DJ Burns is good, and Vaudrin is a nice player, 6'7", you know, point guard, sees, passes. People have all these comparisons. Play really hard, play two different styles. With Burns in, they play in the post. Without him in, they play more 5'8 spread stuff. They play really hard, they rebound the ball. Villanova's winning this game.
Is it possible? Because on my radio show, we've been fascinated by Colgate being in the top 10 in the net. Yeah. Can they run at all with Arkansas? Arkansas is 11 in a row, but can they run at all with Arkansas?
Yeah, but they control the tempo of the game. Actually, they play fairly fast, Colgate.
Right. You know,
and it's like a basically Princeton on steroids. And, you know, obviously, you know, the Jordan Burns kid is a really, really good guard who could play anywhere in the country. But I'm on the must bus. Team, look, Colgate shoots 40% from the three-point line. You think you can shoot 40 from the three-point line against Arkansas's defense?
I don't.
They shoot 55 from the two. You think you're going to shoot 55?
I don't.
So, and by the way, Seth Davis picked this as an upset, and then everyone started texting me. I'm tweeting me. All right? Damn it. Don't at me for Seth Davis. It's the other Seth. Wrong Seth. All right.
This is the handsome Seth Davis. All right, last thing, because this is like the upset central bracket here. In my world, there are three kind of fans. Indiana fans beat like East Tennessee State, and they think they're hanging banner number six. Butler fans win a game, and they expound on it. Well, you know, when Brad was here, we the circumference of the basket, they think they're the smartest people in the world. Purdue fans are literally waiting for disaster to happen. They could win eight in a row, Seth, and they're like, oh, crap. We know we're going to lose. And Purdue is in panic mode right now, at least in Indianapolis. Is North Texas any good? Can they spring the upset on Boilers and crush the hopes once again of Boiler fans?
You know, I went to my Conference USA insider, Andy Kennedy, and he tells me North Texas is an elite defensive team.
Ooh.
He told me that North Texas is a team that keeps you on one side of the floor and denies ball reversal and makes it hard to run off. They turn you over. And they also told me this kid, Javion Hamlet, the ball will be in his hands 95% of the time, and he'll be dribbling around coming off ball screens. They got this Reese kid can really shoot it. And I think it's a Sumner kid is a low post guy that is pretty good. So could they – I'm biased. Maybe I'm biased towards Matt Painter.
I got to follow up. Does Micah Shrewsbury, their offensive coordinator, he handles the offense for Purdue leaving for Penn State or taking the Penn State job. Do you think that has any effect on a team?
Well, he's going to be with the team for the tournament, though, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, this isn't Sarkisian now. I mean, this isn't Lane Kiffin. I mean, this is. No, I mean, I think those guys are probably happy for their coach.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity. I mean, it's amazing. Assistant coach Purdue to head coach in the Big Ten. Mm. That speaks volumes for Matt Painter.
Well, it speaks volumes for Micah Shrewsbury, who is one of the all-time great guys.
Yeah, I'm saying, I mean, like for an assistant coach in the Big Ten, when was the last time an assistant coach in the Big Ten got a Big Ten job?
I don't know if I can remember when.
That's a reflection on all involved. Very cool. No, I think this can be a close game, but I think Purdue's going to win.
All right.
Let's go to bottom of bracket. Anything interesting? All right, I'm going to give you this. Georgia Tech's got an injury or a positive test. If it's either Jose Alvarado or Moses Wright, they're done. I'm saying they're done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know that we know who it is, but I know this. I saw that the Blues brother, Cameron Krautwig, is third-team All-American for Loyola, and I am very happy about that. And I speak for people from Chicago area when I say, God bless you. I agree. They would be done. Here's what I'm looking at, Seth Greenberg. The Fighting Jim Boeheims against San Diego State.
Yeah, San Diego State, those Southern California guys, you know, I mean, they got here, they can really shoot.
Are you picking him to win?
I've never seen the Boeheim imitation out of you. And like,
you know, we're playing better. Your buddy's, he's healthy now, and zone's a little better.
I am picking them to win. I'm picking them to win based on the fact that you just did a great imitation, and I want more of it in the tournament. That's why I'm picking them. Look, I think San Diego State's one of the great stories over the last 20 years in college basketball. I do. And I think there comes a time when you end up with that kind of team and that kind of program now under Brian Dutcher that you make a big run in the NCAA tournament to an Elite Eight, Final Four possibly. I do. I think that's what – you know, happens. But I talked to Jim yesterday, and he did exactly what you just said and mentioned Buddy in there as well.
Yeah, Buddy is shooting 22 points a game over the last 8 games, shooting 46 from the three. You know, he's healthy. Yeah.
That's what he said. He's healthy. I just think he likes his team. And if Boeheim likes his team, he's been in one place 60 years, I'm going with them. I'm going to take them over San Diego State.
I'm going to give you the next one. Rutgers.
Oh.
Clemson. I'm all in on Rutgers.
Let me ask you a question. This is something that somebody posed to me yesterday. So yesterday, and I'm not on Twitter anymore, thank God, for everybody, mostly me. Right. People sent me an exchange between, like, Geo Baker is complaining about what they get at the tournament. Jordan Bohannon is kind of involved. And I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I got it by email and screenshots, so I don't know what the comments were underneath or if they got farther. But as a coach, I know we want players involved in the discussion of everything, and that's cool. I'm cool with that. But just simply for this game, does anything about that give you pause? Players thinking about other things? Or is it, I'm doing this on Tuesday, the game isn't until later in the week, it's what kids would normally be doing kind of thing?
If you can't get excited about playing the NCAA tournament after what you went through this past season to get to the finish line, there's something wrong. So, I mean, yeah, it would bother, quite honestly, as a coach, it would be bothering me if guys complain about everything. I mean, look, you had all kinds of reasons to complain all season long. Now we're getting to the finish line and we're going to start complaining. So I didn't see the exchange, so I really can't comment on it, but I'd be disappointed if that's the truth.
Well, I saw the screenshots of both, but I didn't see if there was follow-up or I didn't see any of that. Maybe somebody will send it and we'll see, but I don't know. I'm with you on Clemson as well, or excuse me, on Rutgers as well. Four guys, including Geo Baker, around, all can go get 20. And look, Mulcahy comes in there, at least against Indiana.
I like Mulcahy.
Yeah, in the tournament, they left him open and he drilled two threes basically, you know, for the win. So, and then you got Miles Johnson, who we both really like.
He's love a Miles Johnson.
Yeah. So I'm in on Rutgers on this, too. It's a 7-10 game that if somebody had told me, I don't know, switch them around, make Rutgers the 7 and make –
Clemson can get stuck offensively.
Let me ask you this.
Amir Dawes is nice. Amir Sims is nice. You know, the Hoover kid is nice. But, I mean, like, Rutgers has got Young, Harper, Montez Mathis, Geo Baker, Miles Johnson – they've just got more ways to score.
Seth, if they switch, they do. I agree with that. If they switch those seeds around, if they said Rutgers was the 7, Clemson the 10, how would you have felt?
Properly seeded.
Right. That's what I'm saying in this game.
There's a couple 7-10s that, you know, are like that.
You know who the favorite is?
Rutgers.
Point and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I make some people money?
Yeah, make some people money, then we got to wrap it up because I lost my phone.
I want you to make some money on this. This is the first time this has ever happened. Mount St. Mary's against Texas Southern. Mount St. Mary's was a 2-point underdog. I took Mount St. Mary's +2 on DraftKings. Guess what happened? They want to cash me out with plus money. Now the game's down to pick them. I'm a big Mount St. Mary's fan. They've got a guard that is
defense, right?
Yeah, defense, but they got two bigs. Seth, if you want to make money, take Mount St. Mary's as a pick'em. And then if you want to make more money, Seth, I know I talked about Purdue's game. Take Purdue, give the 5.
There we go.
There you go.
You know what? That was for something that was just good. We got the history of Indiana basketball. All right, I'm going to ask you one last question.
Yeah.
Who gets the Minnesota job?
If I were a Big Ten with a job open, I want to see if I can find another guy like Juwan Howard. Worked his brains off in the NBA, came up through the ranks learning the systems of the – not, you know, I've always said this. Isaiah Thomas goes to Florida International. Drexler goes to Houston. Moncrief, they didn't have the background in terms of assistant coaching. If I could find somebody like that at Minnesota, I would rather do that than hire somebody that won a game or two extra in the NCAA tournament 4 years ago. That's what I would do as an AD. I would try to find that guy.
World's Greatest Podcast never disappoints. We were going to chop it up for about 30 minutes, and Dockage went on 30 minutes on the internet search. So there it is. Enjoy the tournament. We will be talking next
Bobby
week.
Knight, throw in a chair, watch shot, Dockage and Uwe, a chess set. What? Lee Ross, I got guitars. I got Lee Ross back there with Pearl Washington. Want to see Pearl? Here. Got a nice bar area right here, by the way.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the Pearl. Lee at a press conference. What the heck?
Doesn't get any better.
Couple guitars.
There you go. Man is a renaissance man. When I think of Dokic, we think renaissance man.
We think bad human being. Yeah. All right. Hey,
you're the best. We will be talking every day. We'll be breaking it down. And for everyone else out there, enjoy the tournament.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.